everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we are going to talk about the summer heat and your training. And I don't know about you, Jeff, but I have been seeing some hot and humid days here in Maryland. And I know around the country, it's hot and arid, depending on where you live. It's hot and unseasonably hot in some areas of the country. And top it off, it's, you know, wildfires are adding to the pollution and making the air quality bad and making it just very difficult for people to train. So what we're going to do today, and we're going to just kind of kick this back and forth and just come up with some of the solutions that we have seen that work for us in these situations.
Yeah, there's a few things, and these are like in no particular order, I guess, really. It's just there are some things that are very common, you know, seasonally. And then also we kind of got this topic of, like, you know, when Stu and I were prepping years ago, it's kind of nice to kind of see these generational changes of things that, like we're saying, like, not that air quality hasn't always been an issue in some areas of the country, like over our duration of life and training, but it's becoming more of an issue for certain places. And so it's like 30 years ago, we wouldn't necessarily be talking about air quality issues in certain cities. And now we are. So that's kind of where this came from, is there are some changes happening generation from generation, and you're seeing that impact, whether it's the coronavirus or fires or whatever you want to call it, right? There's just impacts. And so we're just talking about them a little bit.
Yeah. Well, one thing for sure is running in the heat of the day in the middle of the summer is obviously not your first choice, right? I mean, if you can go earlier in the morning when it's cooler. I mean, I'll tell you right now, we just ran this morning. It was 73 degrees, which is as cool as it's going to be at 6 a.m., but it was over 85% humidity, and we still were borderline overheating, drenching out, you know, like wringing out the sweat of our shirts. And, you know, and when you do that, when you have that kind of water loss, you're losing a lot of electrolytes, which, for those of you who are curious what mostly you sweat, is sodium, but you also have potassium, magnesium that are part of that electrolyte balance. You got to replace that. Otherwise, you're going to feel like crap the rest of the day. You may even start cramping, you know, if it gets, you know, more severe. And it's a constant battle, you know, all through the week of replacing this water. And I've been on it all week, you know. And in fact, on Thursday, I do my mobility day and I go indoors. It's an air conditioned workout, and I do my best not to break a sweat in this mobility day. But the only thing I do on that makes me break a sweat is stretching, because it hurts sometimes, right? Yep. It's like, yeah, I break a sweat because I'm like, oh God, this sucks. So anyway, that's just some of the things I do. I started earlier. Even though it's hot and humid, it's not as hot and humid as it is at noon, obviously.
Yeah. And I think that, like, here, this is always a question, because here's the reality is we don't have control of the weather. Like, so that, first of all, accept that. Secondly, it's also understand that, like, most people work throughout the day. So, like, that really typically most people cover, that's like the heat of the day. So you're really kind of, in my opinion, you're left with morning and evenings. An ability to do either one of those efficiently, run, train, whatever you can do in the morning, evening, comes down to one of two things, really. How, you know, what's your state of hydration and fuel, and what was your sleep like? So if your sleep is good, now we're back right back to where Stu's at. It's like, it's interesting how, you know, we can, it's super unsexy to talk about how important hydration is. So get it, it's super unsexy. But it is the truth. Like, we can keep going back and say, hey, you know, take all these supplements, do all these things. But we know that if you're underslept, well, that is your pure limitation. Doesn't matter how good your training is, if you're underslept. Doesn't matter how good your training is, or how good your sleep is, if you're dehydrated. So, and I'm only saying this just to kind of bring this thing around. It's like, heat is only an issue if you don't prepare for it, right? And so, and then someone will say, well, yeah, Jeff, but when you're at selection, you're going to be doing stuff in the middle of the day. Yes. Yeah. And that is part of the selection. And so what we're saying is like, okay, you know, the best way to develop mental toughness is do all the little things when no one's watching consistently, really. And this falls into it. It's like, we all know it's hot in the middle of the day. So let's remove that from our training possibility, unless you have to. So this is part of mental toughness. Like, oh, my favorite time to train is the middle of the day. Well, now I have to get up and do it. Well, there's your lesson in mental toughness right there as well. So it's like, this is twofold. It's always going to be hot. So prepare for it. And by always preparing for it, well, that's really unsexy. Preparing every day by hydrating and stuff. It's like, you want high performance, hydrate.
Well, here's the problem is if you don't do that, yeah, your performance will drop if you're lucky, right? Because it keeps on getting worse from there. I mean, you become a heat casualty. Now you're talking about cramping and you can't move.
And you become predisposed to it more often.
Yeah, body temperature elevating to where it becomes dangerous and they got to put you in an ice tub or they got to send you to the hospital to get, you know, cold, you know, intravenous fluids.
Yeah, they'll put you in cold blankets, right? They'll wrap you in cold blankets and they'll cool the IVs, yep. Right? I've been in that position where it's like you stop sweating in Arizona in August, yeah. Right? It's like, okay. And so how is it that we best prevent heat casualty? Hydration. That's it. Let me say this again. So we're all on the same page. What I mean by hydration is not just during activity. Okay, it's hot outside. We know it. So wouldn't it be a really good idea to drink water before knowing we're going to lose it? I'm saying that's what I do. We're saying this just so we're not saying, hey, let's get ahead of it. Because here's the best piece of advice I ever got when it came to hydration. And it actually came from a SEAL officer in my buds class, believe it or not. And he goes, the world's best canteen is your stomach. And I was like, damn, like that is to me, it was super insightful. He's like, can't be hydrated if it's not in your stomach, you know, it doesn't do any good in your canteen. And I was like, good point.
Yeah. And you know, you have to get used to running with somewhat of a full stomach. I mean, it's not fun and it hurts.
That sloshing sucks.
And you can catch a little cramping in there, but it's easy to recover from that kind of cramping versus the loss of electrolyte and loss of fluid cramping. Two different cramps.
Yeah. There's a big difference, guys, between like, think about the economy. Even again, it just makes more sense. You can be in a debt, but if you're in debt too long, you end up in a deficit. So being in a little bit of a water debt, not an issue. But if we get into a deficit of water, there's the only comeback from that is complete sedentary, cool environment, dry environment, rehydrate, nothing else. And oftentimes in a training environment, we don't have that. So we need to hydrate prior.
You know what? One of my guys this summer went out to SOAS and good candidate. Civilian. And so you guys that are going OCS, this is something to consider because when you go out there and the air is dry, it's not as humid. And well, I guess that depends on the weather. If the winds are blowing from the ocean, it's going to be a little more humid. If it's blowing from the desert, it's going to be arid.
Yeah.
Just never really know what it's going to be. And so you may not realize that you're sweating because your sweat just evaporates right off of your skin. And so you don't have sweat stains. You don't have the ability to wring out your sweat, but you know what you will have? You'll have salt stains on your clothes. And when you're seeing salt stains, now the only problem is, you know, most white shirts in first phase, you're not going to see the salt stains very well, but just know if you're not sweating, you're evaporating salt and water.
That sweat will collect around your belt too. Just keep that woven belt in buds with a white shirt on. That's where you're going to see it's going to collect in the backside and the waist in that woven belt.
Yep. And your pants.
Yeah, and your boots. It'll soak through your boots too.
Yep.
I mean, that's really from the ocean, but just look for those indicators for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Because here's what happened. He was putting out, feeling pretty good, doing pretty well a couple days into their testing or however they do it there with SOAS, and he started getting overheated. And because he was a civilian, they couldn't treat him like they did the two other guys who were ROTC and Naval Academy guys, where they just gave him cold IVs. That all they could do is give him water and some Pedialyte, and it wasn't enough to help him, and he had to drop from the process of trying to go to buds as an officer.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks, but that is a heat casualty that occurs due to not thoroughly understanding the water loss that is occurring throughout the day. So you just have to naturally assume you're losing water and constantly feed it. And like Jeff said, that was a great quote. You know, your best canteen is the stomach. Just keep it full of water, you know, and electrolytes. Yeah.
So Stu and I are saying hydration is an issue and depletion of those electrolytes are bad. All these sort of things. It's sort of like, oh, doom and gloom. So here's the solution, or here's a solution. The solution is this, is we're proposing to you that we're kind of training for a worst case environment. The worst case scenario is hot. You're going to do a PST when it's super hot. Got it. Like worst case scenario. And you're going to train in the super hot environment. Worst case scenario. Got it. So the only really like consistent way through this whole hydration issue with heat issue is we have to practice this good process in heat. So that's the other side. It's like, okay, we know it's the summer and it's hot. We know you can't not train. You're not, there's no value in that. So we're saying, we know you're going to train. So if you're going to go train, you need to practice. We know it's hot. So make sure part of your training is not just the training, the running, the lifting. Your training begins with hydration, right? That's the beginning of your training, is get up in the morning and begin your state of hydration, improve it, right? That's what you're doing. Your breakfast is to break the fast, not just in food, but also in, there's a fast in hydration at night too, right? And so there you go. That's what we're saying, is like, heat stroke and heat issues are only an issue if you don't begin working through the issue in training. Begin to work through the issue in training, because don't just train in this perfect little bubble and then you show up to SOAS or BUDS or SFAS or Ranger School down in fucking Florida and Georgia. And then you're like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. So that's what we're saying. Yes, we do want you to get outside. We do want you to experience these deficits, and we want you to experience how to improve on these deficits and debts. It's through hydration and these things. So it's not just telling you that these things are a problem and then you encounter them and go, well, I should have fixed them. Yeah. That's what we're trying to say, is get them ahead of time, hydrate ahead of time, eat ahead of time, know that it's going to be hot, accept it. Right. And then just like what Stu is saying, maybe you plan a route that allows for you to get into water, gets into a shower, right? Hose yourself off, jump into a lake, get into a shade. Like we're here in Virginia Beach, the state parks along the coast, along the beach, they're real old parks and they're totally shaded. So even in the hot of the day, there's 35 miles of like trails inside the park. Nice. And we just walk the park for an hour with a ruck on. It's shaded. It's brilliant. So find other places that are, you know, not just an open track. Like that's what we say, you know, go get an open high school track, go find some trails.
Yeah, absolutely. Acclimate yourself to this. And when you do that, you're going to start building these habits of hydration before, hydration during, sipping an electrolyte. You know, I personally use, you know, I wake up, first thing I do in the morning, especially in the summer, is I just drink about a quart of water.
Right here.
Yeah, I got it right here.
First thing?
Right there.
Exactly. I drink this before I do anything.
Yeah. Whole quart done in about less than a minute. It's just, it's in there. Like I said, it's my new canteen. And then start to work out, maybe eat some fruit or something. I usually don't eat a whole lot before the workout, just something to get me through. But I also have some in my car. You know, I have extra fruit in my car. I have electrolytes in my car. I have these drip drop little powders that are really good, and also have Pedialyte powders that are really good. Put those in water bottles, especially if I'm starting to sweat profusely, which I do Because I weigh myself before and I weigh myself after. And there's usually a difference between 5 and 6 pounds every day, even with drinking all that extra water. So I know I'm losing about a gallon of water. That's about 8 pounds.
Yeah.
And, during these workouts, and it doesn't take long, an hour and a half outside, you know, moving a lot, you're going to be sweating really a lot. And then you got to spend the rest of the day playing catch up. Yeah. Otherwise you're going to feel like crap the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to start doing the math here. Like as your body, most human bodies, as healthy human body is about 84 to 87% water. If Stu is losing, and he's about 200 pounds, if he's losing 4 to 6 pounds of water, right, per training session, right, he's upwards of 3 to 4% of body weight in total loss. 3% in like what, Stu, like in 2 hours, 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Definitely. Right? And that's with replenishment. That's he's drinking water while he's losing it and still losing 1.5% of body weight. He's only able to replenish 2%. Like that's a lot of weight, folks. And so you start saying, it's like, if you wake up, like you went to bed hydrated, let's play this out. You go to bed hydrated more or less,
yeah.
But through your sleep, you're going to lose, you know, you're going to lose 1% of your body weight through expiring moisture. So then now we're lost a pound, and now you don't replenish that pound, that quart. And then you go for a 3 mile run, you drop another 3% of body weight. You are, before you even really start your day off on really recovering and healing, you're down 4% body weight.
Yeah. I can feel it too. Yeah. You know, if I'm feeling a little parched, you know, after that workout and I'm walking around, even if it wasn't a leg day, I can feel calves starting to cramp, you know, yeah. not like they're cramping, but they're about to. Right. Yeah. If I were to flex it, it'd probably cramp on me.
You betcha.
It's just one of those things. It's one of my little indicators of like, all right, I need to get my electrolytes in. Cause here's what happened the other day. We were doing this workout that had running and calisthenics. We're doing some bear crawls. And I noticed one of my guys, instead of bear crawling, he's on all fours, right? Like crawling on hands and knees like a baby. Right. And he can't really straighten his legs. Right. His legs are, his hams are starting to cramp up to a point. And then his abs started cramping up. I'm like, all right, let's stop, you know, enough. I said, let me show you one of my emergency tricks that I do. And I had a can of chicken noodle soup in my car. And I said, just drink this can of chicken noodle soup right now. Right. And plus he drank a bottle of water and on top of it. But that can of chicken noodle soup is one, any can is loaded with sodium. And it's also loaded with potassium. It actually has the same potassium of about 3 bananas in a can of chicken noodle soup, and just Campbell's chicken noodle soup. And in about 5 minutes, he was no longer cramping and he was feeling better. I didn't recommend him continuing working out, obviously, because he was borderline getting to that point. Because the next phase is cramping, overheating, heat exhaustion, heat stroke, death.
Game over.
Right. I mean, it's just, that's where the ball rolls. If you don't fix it during, you know, when you start seeing these things pop up.
And, yep.
I recommend a can of chicken noodle soup. Just put it in the bottom of your backpack and just save it there for one of those moments. Cause you'll be surprised, especially in the heat of summer, you may be using it either for yourself or for someone who's starting to talk weird. I mean, they can't even think. I mean, he was at that point where he wasn't able to tell me what was wrong.
Yeah. And that's another good thing too, folks, is like, it's probably actually a really good idea for you guys to look up symptoms of heat stroke. Like, so you'll get delirium, right? Loss of focus. Your cognitive ability goes way down. It's like being half, it'd be like someone that's half asleep. You woke up in mid dream and they're just like almost incoherently, like they make sense, but they don't. It's like they're off topic. They'll just stammer. So that's a big part. Motor function, finite motor function goes away. Like they'd have a real hard time putting a key in a lock type situation. So, cause what we're seeing is when water falls to a point, what you're getting is brain impairment, right? Cause your brain is like essentially fat and fascia. That's what your brain is made out of, which is almost, it's like watermelon. It's just mostly water.
Yeah.
And so when you're 4% depleted in your water, your brain is going to really have some suffering, like some brain fog, and probably have a bad headache, probably be not, may not even notice it, be behind your eyes.
I mean, just think about all that's going on. I mean, probably because you're putting out, you're probably low on glycogen and blood sugar. You're probably low on electrolytes and you're low on water. And it just goes downhill from there. And your ability to move and think and, you know, keep your body temperature down are gone.
Yeah. Take 10% of the oil out of your engine and see how it drives.
Mm.
Right. So everything. So like we had a guy in my bud's class that actually happened. It he's super dehydrated. He was a really good runner. He quit in the first week, but he was one of the better runners. And I remember him urinating like on day three after the run, it was almost coagulated.
You know, that's a really good point.
Yeah. Because, and so they like had to like stop and like they sent him to the hospital and they're like, you're going into, if you don't like, you're going to go into renal failure. Yeah. Like literally his urine was like a gel.
Well, you know, if you think about it, I mean, the heat casualty, you know, with very, you know, hard exercise on top of it, it just blends right into rhabdo. I mean, you're basically getting rhabdomyolysis.
Exactly.
And then, then from there,
there's a real risk of death with that.
Yeah.
When you combine heat stroke with rhabdo, if you don't go into some form of liver failure, you're lucky. With those two combined, you're just, that's a recipe. That when you hear where people dying of rhabdo, it's usually those two things. Yep. There's a heat casualty component to it that the brain just couldn't sort through. Cause again, that what happens is that blood, like the toxicity breaches the blood brain barrier and you basically go basically toxic. Your brain does. Just you die. And yeah, I've only had one instance where I saw somebody get into rhabdo. They came in and out pretty quickly. And it was definitely heat involved. There's heat involved to it. So big guy, former wrestler, a lot of muscle mass. And that's a lot of guys you guys run into, a lot of muscular type guys that have real, real super lean, like runner type cross country, that they typically don't have the muscle mass to get rhabdo.
Right.
And that's not a knock on them. That's just their body type. It's just you and I are a much higher risk of rhabdo than a cross country athlete.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Just because of our muscle mass.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, but that's a good thing. Like there's a million things you guys can do, but here's the deal. You know, I say my summary is get up. If you have to adjust your schedule to a morning run, do that, or evening run. You should do that if you can, right? Hydration is the key, and hydration is only as good as how you start, not how you end up hydrating. So start your hydration soon, early and often. Okay. And then from there, like I always look at it and go, maybe create some diversity of locations. If you've been historically running in wide open areas and spaces, you know, even if it's just for monotony, but also if you can find a shaded place, go find some trails. You know, if you guys live in, you know, some wooded areas, go find some nice trails. And then the last thing for me is that some people, because it's a hydration thing, like some people and it's really hot, and if running, you keep finding yourself with like cramping and dehydration, switch to rucking for a little while, because most people can drink during the ruck a lot easier than they can drink during their run. Mm. So sometimes it just, there might be an adjustment phase just for your body to go, are we going to handle this heat? Is he going to give me the necessary nutrients to handle that? And then you do over the course of the week with rucking, you increase your hydration during activity. And then you take that into running. That would be my last piece of advice. But outside of that, you know, it's up to you. It's up to you guys. Make a point to do this, be purposeful in your design and stick to it. Be consistent, especially through this heat. It's the best way to manage it.
Yeah. You know, and you know, you can decide when you enlist and show up at Bud's too. You know, you can show up in the middle of summer and have to deal with this, or you could show up in the winter and have to deal with the cold. I mean, regardless, you're going to be there.
No escape.
Regardless, you're going to be there 6 months and you're going to have a little bit of both, regardless of, you know, depending on what phase you're in. I personally had a, a winter dive phase, and that was colder than anything I'd have ever experienced in my life. You know, it was awful.
Our third phase was winter. So we were at the island in the winter. So we dove through the fall, which wasn't bad in San Diego at all.
Sure.
So yeah, well, May, yeah, I got there in May. Hell Week was in June. So then July, August was first phase. August, September, the second phase was my birthday. And then October, November. Yeah, October, November was third phase.
Cold Island too is not easy either.
Yeah. No, that was like getting in the island in November. Like that was, it was definitely colder out there. But now I didn't have to dive in the winter, which was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, the thing is, you know, climatize yourself to the elements. I think working out outside year round is beneficial. You get used to the cold, you get used to the heat, depending on where you live. And, you know, you can start creating those habits of staying on top of dehydration and overheating and all that by actually experiencing it yourself. Because if you just work in the AC all the time, you know, you won't have those habits of sipping water constantly throughout your workout. You know,
Agree. Yeah. You can't develop those habits unless you're in the environment.
Yeah.
So plan to be in the environment with that plan, have a plan for the environment.
Yeah. So I guess you could say this was our public safety announcement of don't be a heat casualty podcast.
Yeah. That's it. Drink your water, folks.
Yeah. There you go.
Eat your broccoli and drink your water.
Hey, be cool. Drink your water.
There you go. There's your public service announcement.
There you go. Hey, Jeff. Once again, thanks for being on the Tactical Fitness Report. And Jeff's doing some great things down there in Virginia Beach. You guys should go check him out. You can see what he's doing on performancefirstus.com.
StuSmithFitness.com. That's where you need to go.
Yeah, I'm still working out and writing about it, and you can see it on StuSmithFitness.com.
I'm not writing. I'm just talking about it.
That's all right.
I'm
a much better writer than I am speaker. So
I'm the opposite. Yeah, like I can't formulate a sentence when I have a pencil in my hand, but I seem to do okay when I'm in front of a crowd. So yeah, I'll just call it even.
There you go. All right. Till next time, my friend.
All right, Stu. Appreciate it.